Well, guys, we are starting on a new sermon series, and it's the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus' longest sermon, it's a powerful, powerful section of the Word of God. And as we tackle it this morning, I really want to encourage us. Let's be ready for what God has for us. I also wanted to say this. We'll be handing these out at the end. These are to take for the classes, for the adult class, for the men's Bible study, for the women's Bible study. Make sure you get one. Actually, we'll be passing them around here at the end. But I want to encourage you, take this, go through it. Even if you're not in the men's Bible study or women's Bible study, take it, go through it. Work through it. I really believe that this day, Sunday, is our time to start the subject that we're hitting on, which is the Sermon on the Mount. But as time goes on, we're going to have opportunities to hear very specifically from the Word of God as we go throughout the week together. And go ahead and turn to Matthew 5. Matthew 5. And Matthew 5 is interesting because we're starting in the Beatitudes. And it starts out, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he had sat down, his disciples came to him. He opened up his mouth and began to teach them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus goes up and he goes to teach, and he starts out with the Beatitudes, and he starts out with blessed. And as he's talking about, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. First of all, what does it mean to be blessed? Well, blessed is, one of the main definitions of blessed is the Hebrew asher, which means to find the right path. So to be on the right path, guys, we're blessed when we're on the right path. Psalms 1:1-2 said, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. Guys, for us, two paths are available. Two paths are to be on the right path. Who here wants to be on the right path? Oh my goodness. What happens when we're on the wrong path? And guys, here's the reality. It doesn't take much to get on the wrong path, does it? We tend to go in the direction that we're looking. And so as we're really seeking out how do we take the right path? We're going to look at these Beatitudes of blessed, of on the right path are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. One of the things is, as people find out that I'm a Christian and I talk to them, and often it often comes up too, different forms of the question or the comments that come at me when they find out I'm a pastor is, well, Christianity, that's just a crutch. And my response is, for a person who's lame, since when did having a crutch be a bad thing? Right? If we are broken, if we are in need, if something is wrong with us, between us and God, then why is having a crutch, why is being able to walk seen of as a negative thing? We are being held up. That's kind of a compliment. I know I can't make it in my own strength. Now, it doesn't sound great when you say being a crutch, but it's because we've got some things turned around. Blessed are the poor in spirit. The lame need a crutch. Jesus said, I came not for the righteous, but for sinners. See, when we're honest before God, we realize we have a need. We can't get ourselves right. We can't get ourselves clean. And so we need God to do what we can't do for ourselves. And so when it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who are in need of God, who don't trust themselves alone. Blessed are those who rely on God instead of self-reliance. As we're taught from being young, do it yourself, figure it out how to do it. And so we've got this idea that maturity is figuring out how to make it so that we only need ourselves. But we need God and we need each other. Do we not? We are created in the image of God. And God is in perfect relationship with himself. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Three persons, one God. And we are created in his image, and that we are in need to be dependent on him and in relationship with each other. The answer is not more self-reliance, more self-esteem. The answer is God's sovereign grace. God's grace, his sovereign grace, being whole in him. It's always amazing to me as we look at the poor in spirit, it's realizing our need. The truly poor in spirit are seen by a total dependence on God for their spiritual resources. Guys, that's a good thing to be leaning on him for our strength, for our very identity. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Just a thought here. It's not about area. It's not about real estate. It's about our relationship with God as his ambassadors. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We are called to be his ambassadors here and now. To be dependent on him. And to, because of that dependence on who he is and his strength, now it's theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now we get to live out in part where we belong. Before we die, we get to experience the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, in part now. We don't have to wait. We get to experience in part. Have you ever had God meet you right when you needed it in a way that you just, man, where you were so discouraged and you felt like, God, where are you? What's going on? And you turned to him. And he meets you there and he gives you a special word in your heart. And in that prayer time, it's just that connection with him and you're uplifted and you're, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Because of his strength, because God is making his appeal through us. And because we are dependent on him, now the poor in spirit, meaning those who don't depend on themselves and their own strength, now are dependent on God, and they have the power of God working through them to bless themselves and bless others through them. Praise God for that. As I want to ask this question, what's an area that you struggle with in self-dependence? Where is it in your life that you tend to say, I got this? I got this. Where is it in your life that, I mean, there's some areas where it hits and we go to our knees quick, right? That challenge comes up and we're quick. We go to prayer. We know we don't have the answer. We don't have the strength. But we also have areas where we tend to be a little bit more self-reliant, don't we? Where we tend to say, I got this. I can figure out a way through it. And it's not till we're at the end of our rope, that we're at the end of the problem and everything's falling apart, that we turn to God. And we don't have to get to that place before we turn to him. The poor in spirit are those who what? The poor in spirit are those who right away, I need him. I need his presence in this. I don't have the answer in myself. I don't. The second beatitude, as we really trust in that first one of trusting the Lord and being dependent on him, the second one is blessed are those on the right path. On the right path are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Or those who mourn, guess what? Life's hard. Life's also unfair. There's also evil in the world. And there's a lot of junk out there. And how is we, as Christians, how should we respond to evil that we see? It should break our hearts, guys. We shouldn't be, God's not okay with sin. And so when we see the things of this world, when mourning here literally, it's talking about the sadness that we have as we see this fallen world before us. As we see this broken world, something in our hearts should break also as we see our own sin in this broken world. As that sin, as that the broken world and the sinful nature and the enemy puts temptation in our path, and as we struggle with sin, there should be something in our hearts and minds that says, this is wrong. The conscience is flared because it's the Holy Spirit in us. And when we mourn because of the evil around us and the things being done or our own sin, God hears our hearts. Guys, praise God, we have a God who hears us, who knows what we're going through, who knows what it's like to suffer and struggle. Praise God for that. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Do you struggle with praying through your pain? Do you struggle with coming before God? And back to that first blessed, isn't it? Of being self-reliant. I can get through this. But as we mourn, as we put those first two together, now we have our strength in Christ and our dependence on Him. And so now, as we come to our mourning, both for the sin in the world around us and the evil that's there and the our own sin, now we've got a place to go with it. Now we can be on the right path, which is not saying, I got this, but it's saying, God, I need you desperately here. I need you right here and now. Because I'm struggling through this. I'm struggling through. And without you, I'm in trouble. Blessed are the meek. Those who are meek are on the right path, for they will inherit the earth. Guys, meek people wait on the Lord. Meek people don't puff up and say, I'm going to take care of this in my own strength. You don't come at me. Meek people, it's a controlled strength. Meekness, the word that's used for meekness, one of the ways it's also used is it in the original language, it's used as the bit that goes into the horse's mouth that steers this great wild beast. And so you put the bit in, and this wild horse now becomes controlled power and strength. Guys, that's meekness. That's meekness. Psalms 37, verse 11 says, but the meek will inherit the land. This is where Jesus is getting this from, isn't it? The meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. I want to go a little bit further back into that Psalms 37, which is Psalms 37:5, and take a look at it a little bit as we talk about what it means with this meek inheriting the land. And verses 5 through 7 define what it means to be meek. 5 through 10 define what it means to be meek. Verse 5, commit your way to the Lord and trust Him. What's the first area? We trust Him. We trust Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Another area of blessing of meekness is be still before the Lord. You see, when things go wrong around us and people come at us, or there's evil, or there's challenge, or there's broken, our hearts can get so upended. Have you ever had a relationship with another person and it gets stressed and you start thinking about it all the time? when it's meekness controlled, when we're not saying, I'm going to be the one who brings it. Because as it goes on to say here, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. I love that. It's not for us to bring to make things right. It's not for us to make things right. It's not for us to try and get our truth out there. It's for us to trust God. Refrain from anger. Turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. Guys, to be meek means what? I'm going to trust God here. Doesn't this sound nice? And isn't this really hard to put into practice when the moment hits? It's always a challenge. It's always a challenge for me. It's always a challenge. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. Meekness isn't weakness, but power under control in willing submission to God. And we praise God for that. Guys, I love those verses in Psalm 37 because it really shows us what is the result of being meek, the strength of being meek, of trusting God in the midst of it, of trusting him, even though it's difficult every single time. Verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. As blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Augustine said there's all of us have a God-shaped hole inside of us. All of us have this need for something. Listen to all the different songs on the radio. They all show what? Man, something's wrong, especially country music. Something's wrong. Dog's dead. I mean, all of literature, it all shows this unsatisfied life. Why? Because we were created to be in right relationship with God and each other. And when we're not, we know it. There's a desire. There's a thirst for righteousness, for right standing between us and God. And blessed are, we're on the right path when we desire the things, when we are thirsty for righteousness, the things of God, for they will be satisfied. One of the things that I love is a big ice cold glass of lemonade after I... on a hot day, mow the lawn. Now, we're getting away further now from hot days. But this summer, we had some really good ones. And when I was mowing the lawn, and I got that thirst quenched, and that sense of accomplishment and being satisfied, when we hunger and thirst for righteousness, what happens? We're satisfied. Guys, we've got a world that is looking for something to satisfy. And everything that people are going into comes up empty. Why are alcohol and drugs and prescription drugs and all these different things just becoming more and more and more of something that we hear on the news? And because we're wanting to be satisfied. We've got problems. People know something's wrong. And we're on the right path if we're finding that thirst being quenched, that joy being satisfied when they're on the right path of righteousness, of right standing before God because of what he's done, not because of ourselves. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Our righteousness doesn't come from what we do. Guys, hear this. Our righteousness doesn't come from self-effort, from trying harder. Our righteousness doesn't come because Well, I go to church, I go to Bible study, and therefore I'm good. Our righteousness comes from where we stand with Jesus Christ. It says, if we believe, we are saved. When I believe, I'm transformed. And now, because of my belief, how I live changes day by day, and I grow in that. But it's not because of my own strength and effort. It's because of who Christ is in me. A new identity. The old is gone. The new is here. We all desire something because something's missing. And we're not immune to the sin around us. As the reality is, as believers, this isn't just for salvation, justification. This is for sanctification. We are surrounded by junk. And there is temptation for the believer, isn't there? There is temptation. We are not immune to the sin around us. So when we hunger and thirst for righteousness, where does that hunger and thirst come from? Our spirit. God working within us through our spirit. It's God's Holy Spirit speaking to our spirit. And we're responding to Him. Man, we're on the right path when our righteousness, when our thirst for righteousness is satisfied because He is the one doing the work in us. So we have to look at our lives and say, what am I really thirsty for? If I look at my life, what am I spending my time doing? Where am I with my time, with my effort? And I think as we're real before God with that, He's going to have areas that He says, you know what, I got something for you here. You're on the right path. Keep walking forward in that. And you're blessed. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful. For time's sake, we're going to have to go a little faster here. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. How often do we want justice for those around us who offend us? How often do we want justice for this world that's broken, and we're going to bring it ourselves? Too frequently. I can speak for me. Justice is a major issue in my life. And it's a major area of weakness at times in my life because I value it so much. And I'll push. But sometimes my understanding of justice, it's not justice. But it requires humility to see that. Sometimes you have that time where you're with your spouse and you're making your point, and you know you're right, and you're good, but you're not. Because the two of you aren't good. Why? Because you forced you being right more than being loving, more than being in right relationship. And so the goal became to be right. This isn't just in marriage, this is in friendships. The goal became to be right rather than loving. Rather than connected. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Guys, we love to receive it, but it's harder to give it. But what happens when we give mercy? What happens when we give it away? People are blessed. There's an opportunity for right relationship to come back in. There's an opportunity for good things to happen. In those relationships that are stressed. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. What is this? You know what this puts my mind on the most? You know what's really important to God? Our hearts. Because if it's blessed are the pure in heart, see, God looks at what? He looks at the heart. He looks at the inside. Man looks at the outside. We judge by what we see. God judges by what He knows because He sees the heart. He sees the mind. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. See, it's not enough for us to clean up the outside. It's not enough for us to look right, to be religious. God wants our hearts. So guys, if you think of Christianity as being, well, it's about do's and don'ts and rules, and you've missed it altogether. And I want to say that's religion, and religion is dead. But there's something much more powerful than religion, and that is faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Faith, a relationship that's personal and intimate, not rules and do's and don'ts. It's about intimacy with a God who created us and knows us better than we know ourselves. The heart is what you are when no one sees but God. Guys, Sunday morning is sometimes kind of a reflection of the Christian life. Now, I don't put on the suit and tie. I want everyone to feel comfortable, no matter how they dress, no matter what they can afford. And so I dress the way I dress very intentionally. But sometimes Sunday morning is where we come to show our best and to look our best. But God sees it the other 6 days of the week. He sees the heart. He sees the life. And I want to encourage us, man, how are we doing with what we're spending our time doing, with how we're talking to each other, with what we're participating in? God's interested in the heart. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Blessed on the right path are the pure in heart, for they will see God. They will be comforted by his presence. When our hearts are right, hearts right now, I can see clearly what God is saying. What he's saying to me about my sin. Part of getting my heart right is being real with him. Now I do hear. Matthew, respond. Respond in love. They will be comforted by his presence. Pure in heart. Guys, pure in heart is the will to do one thing. As long as that one thing is God's thing. Pure in heart. Our will is for God's truth, for God's way, for God's love to be seen. So that's that one thing. And so I'm going to focus on that one thing and have that purity of heart. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. I was reading some notes from Jim, and I really liked what he had for me here was peacemakers reflect the character of their Heavenly Father, and so they're called sons of God. Romans 2, 18 and 19, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. Whew. Guys, what happens when we start living that truth out, when we are peacemakers? We start having avenues of making things right. Our prayers aren't, God, show me to be right here. Our prayers are, God, heal this relationship. God, heal this situation. Heal this brokenness. God, I'm not just praying for me. I'm praying for them. I'm praying for us to be able to come together. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. I want to be a child of God, don't you? Good news is, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are a child of God. And our sin does not take away our relationship with our Father. Anybody here have children? Anybody here ever have children do the wrong thing? Have you ever had your child rebel? None of us in this church have ever experienced that, have we? No. We know what it's like to have that parent's heart, that father's, that mother's heart for our children. And when our children really blow it, do they stop being our children? No, guys, hear that. There is peace in that. We are children of God. And because we have peace of how we stand with Him, now it gives me an ability to have peace with those around me. Because how important in our world today is peace? Guys, our world's messed up. There is so much hate and anger in our own country right now. There is so much. You listen to conversations, and people are getting in arguments all around us. Because we're focusing on what divides. Are you a peacemaker? Are you somebody who enjoys bringing peace in? When you're hearing it at work, when you're hearing fights start, are you quick to jump on a side or are you quick to try and bring in the love of God and help bring blessing into the relationships that are there? Are we peacemakers? Verse 10, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Rejection is often the reward for the Christian. Guys, if you do what's right, I was reading about this one gentleman who's a pastor, and he was living out his faith, and he saw somebody on the side of the road. He went to help him, and as he went to help him, another car was coming and wasn't paying attention, started to drift to the side of the road, pinned him between the car and this car, and here he was, stopped to help people with a flat tire. And never fully recovered, but spent years and years and years trying to physically get back. You don't think he was struggling with this verse, verses like this one? Blessed are those who are persecuted. Sometimes when we do what's right, the consequence will be what? Persecution. But we're on the right path if we're persecuted for doing what's right, not persecuted for doing what's wrong. If we're willing to stand for what's right, in this world we may be persecuted, but God will bless us with eternal blessings. Not just the kind of blessings that are for this world alone. And so, man, at times, have you ever been there where you tried to do something nice for somebody and somehow something went haywire? On the right path are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Notice it doesn't say self-righteous sake, so it's not our way, but righteousness' sake, God's right way. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I keep coming when I deal with this. And the next one, I keep thinking of that thing of how can a loving God allow this to happen? The next one, blessed are those are you on the right path are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evils against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now, I've got to be careful when I read a verse like this because my self-righteousness often gets in the way. Sometimes I see things through my lens. And I see myself as a victim rather than a participant. And so I'm on the right path when what people bring against me is because of I'm honoring God. But there's a lot of things where I've got to be really challenged before God and say, man, maybe even though I don't understand, man, I've got to have a sensitive heart here. I can't have the answer. God has the answer. So I'm going to proceed with humility. And guys, when we're offended, it's hard for humility to come bubbling up. That's only an act of God. But when we're on the right path, when that happens, and it doesn't happen by default, it happens by being intentional of going to prayer before God. Because when the persecution happens, man, I want to honor you in this. Not only that, we're called to what our enemies? We're called to love those. Not just accept them, but love them. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. Love does not rejoice in evil, but delights in the truth. Guys, love is this beautiful thing that is so different than what my natural reaction sometimes is. And when I'm wrong, man, if I'm not intentionally praying, then people are getting my wrath rather than my love. Guys, we need to be humble before God. We need to be humble. Moving quickly into the salt and light, verses 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled. Guys, what does salt do? It seasons, it enhances, it makes things better. It preserves. It makes it so things last. So it helps with seasoning. It helps with preserving. Salt may be of poor quality because of other contaminations. And what happens when you've got contaminations in the salt? It's less salty. It's less preserving. It also tastes wrong. We're called to be the salt of the earth. We're called to bring blessing and joy and enhancement. We're called to bring life. Not through our own strength, but because of who we represent. God is the one who makes us fit to give, who makes us fit to bless. Matthew 19:26 says, what is impossible for man, making salt right again, what's impossible for man is possible for God. You are the salt of the earth. And it goes on to say, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. You are the light of the world. Anybody here feel like the light of the world? Christ in us is the light of the world. And as believers, we have Christ in us. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Hide it under a bushel. No. I'm going to let it shine. Man. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. Guys, we're called to share. What is that saying? We're not the light. We're to reflect light. We're to give it and to share it with everyone around us, everyone in the house, everyone in our spheres of influence. We reflect God's light and his blessing. What is that? There's a warmth to light too, isn't there? There's a warmth. There's also, I couldn't see and now what? Now I can. There's vision. There's vision. I can see where you're on the right path. If what? If you've got the light before you. It's the right path because I can see. It's exciting, guys. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise who? Your Father in heaven. Man. So football's starting. And today's the first game for the Seahawks. And one of the things that drives me crazy with football is when guys make good plays and start doing this. They're pointing at the name on the back of the jersey with their thumbs. Like this. Like, it's all about who? Me. How often does God see us in our lives, and what does he see us doing? God of all creation, who made us, who made everything, and here I am. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo, sure. S-H-O-R-A-C-K. Spell it right, please. We get in the way, don't we? Because rather than reflecting God's light, we suck it in. Why? Because we want the glory. When we reflect it, we're reflecting on what? To the one. We're showing where the light's coming from. It's not coming from us. It's coming from him, and we give it away. And that light not only helps us, but it blesses others, and it lights the path not only for us, but for others. Guys, we are called to be a light of how to be right with God. And so in our relationships with people, at work, in everyday life, wherever we go, did you know if you're a believer, every single place you go, you've got eyes watching you, especially if they know you're a believer, because they want to see, is this for real? And we need to be quick to say, man, don't look at me, look at Christ. I'm going to try and reflect his glory as best I can, but I will fail. I will blow it time and time again. I need your grace. I need your forgiveness. Day after day. How often do we forgive? 7 times? No, 70 times. Was it 70 times 7? You keep forgiving. You lose count of forgiving. But doesn't that mean people are going to take advantage of you? Yes, it does. And I promise they will. They took advantage of Christ. Praise God, he didn't say, you don't deserve it, I'm not dying on the cross for you. Excuse me? I created this and you're nailing me to the cross? Take this cross back. You get what you... No, he didn't give us what we deserve. Praise God. So let's not give people what they deserve. Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Praise God for that. They may see the good deeds. The good deeds. Guys, the right path, the Beatitudes, what are they all doing? They're all what? They're all being used to get us on the right path so that we can reflect what? His glory, who he is. It's not just all these separate ideas. All these things that we've talked about from 1 through 16 are connected. And so when we're on the right path, it's all to what? To end in that verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Bring all the glory right back where it belongs. Guys, it's hard to do. It's impossible to do in the flesh. It's hard to do in the spirit because the flesh keeps getting in the way. Let alone when you bring in broken relationships and other broken people just like us. But man, when we start blessed on the right path are those who live out the Beatitudes. Now it's not about us. And when it's not about us, and it's about him, it becomes easier. Because we get in the way a little bit less. This is a hard one. This is, I got to be honest with you, it's hard so often Sunday after Sunday to stand up here and preach before you. because there's so many areas that we're all struggling in this together. So I don't come before you as somebody who's figured this out. I come before you as somebody who's on the same journey and path as you are. And we need each other. We need each other. And God has given us each other. Let's enjoy that blessing. Let's enjoy that blessing of doing it together. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your grace and mercy, Lord. We thank you that we can be on the right path because of who you are in our lives. Father, thank you that we're not stuck on the wrong paths, that we're not stuck with no way off a path that leads to anything but brokenness and junk. You have provided a way for us to get on the right path. And it's through relationship with you, because of you dying on the cross for our sins, Lord Jesus. We thank you for it. We thank you that you didn't just die on the cross, but you rose from the grave. And we have the power from you to us over death, over sin, for eternal life in right relationship with you, and one day right relationship with each other. Today in part, to come in full. Lord, we're grateful. We're grateful for what you're doing. We're grateful for who you are. Bless us and make us a blessing to many. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys.